The Defense Department says if large weapons contractors try to merge, they're going to fight against it. Mark Amtower is the host of Amtower Off-Center on Mondays at Federal News Radio 1500 AM and, of course, an expert in the world of government marketing. He's here to tell you what's going on and whether DOD should even be there fighting this fight. Amtower, thanks for being on this afternoon. Good to talk to you as always.
Hey, Francis, how's it going?
It's going well.
Ben, you're welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
For me being a listener.
Whoa.
All your listeners.
Well, I love my listeners, and you being one of them, I guess that means I have to love you too.
There you go.
What is the deal here? This really raised a lot of eyebrows when DOD said we're going to get involved with potential mergers of big contractors.
Well, I think, number one, the case may be slightly overstated here. What they're talking about is they want to retain competition among the top tier of weapons contractors. And, you know, there truly is just a handful of them. So if you know, a company like General Dynamics decided to merge with any of the other weapons makers, that would be a concern for competition. So we have, you know, a slight issue there. It's not going to impact the ability to do what they normally do, which is, you know, buy smaller companies when they need areas of expertise.
The whole concept, though, of the Defense Department being able to say, you can merge with, this one's okay with us, this one's not okay with us. I mean, I think you can understand why that makes people feel a little bit oogie.
Yeah, but, you know, 20 years ago, they told some of the companies they wanted them to merge. You know, they involve themselves in places where perhaps, you know, a lot of us would be uncomfortable with them doing that. But I do believe the rationale is they want to retain some sort of competitiveness when they are bidding new weapons programs. You know, Lockheed once upon a time made a company called Martin Marietta. Ever since that time, they've been, you know, the bull moose. Not just on the weapon side, but on the overall side. You know, they're 70-80% bigger than number two Northrop.
Is there a trickle down here, one way or the other, for the midsize and smaller companies?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be impacted here at all. And if you look at the Washington Tech latest top 100, the top 20, with the exception, I believe, of Booz Allen. All of them are heavily involved in mergers and acquisitions. And usually, though, it's generally mid-tier to smaller companies filling a true technological need in one of the hot emerging areas, IT, health, cybersecurity, various green activities, et cetera.
You've been following this stuff for a long time. Have you seen an active mergers and acquisitions market like we're seeing right now? In the time that you've been involved in this market?
Yeah, sometimes it seems a lot hotter than other times, but I'll tell you, there's never been a time when it's really gone really, really slow. Because if you want to migrate up the food chain, you have to read the, you know, the tea leaves. Where is the money going to be spent? You've got to spend some time scouring those OMB 300s and 53s and figure out, you know, where your weak parts are and where you need to fill in the chinks. And largely a way to do that, if you cannot hire the talent, you have to buy the talent. And oftentimes that means going after one of those mid-tier companies or even a smaller firm, a more specialized firm.
Do you think more companies now than usual are putting themselves out there as potential acquisitions? It seems like some of the bigger size company people that I talk to are saying folks are coming to us pretty much pitching us. I mean, and I know that goes on all the time. It just seems like now it's happening a lot more than normal.
I think there may be more of that visible now, simply because a lot of the smaller companies really don't know how to package themselves, and then maybe they are not getting the right supervision during that exit strategy process. But that oftentimes is going to be really the smaller tier, especially companies like graduating 8As. you know, if you don't have an exit plan when you start your company, you know, retrofitting is it's not impossible to do. A lot of companies do it, but it's harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need some planning up front if you think, you know, in 3 to 5 years you're going to be doing an exit. There's a number of things you need to do financially and contractually.
I want to get back to this this issue of DOD and the impact that it could potentially have on weapons contractors. Is this, do you think, maybe a passing thing just because of the situation that we're in budget-wise, or is this a policy shift that you think DOD will stick with for a long time?
I think DOD is going to stick with it throughout this economic crisis. And, you know, I don't know about you, but this does not look like a crisis that's going to pass in the immediate near term. So I'd say this could be in place for a few years. And this looks to be largely a DOD-driven event, not an administration event. So I don't think that there's a political flavor to it. So I think it could last long.
Well, but that's part of it, an element of it that makes me think that this is something that might go away after a while because we're going to have new leadership at the Pentagon before too long.
Possibly so. You know, there's several people who have announced, you know, we're vacating the premises,
mm-hmm.
And not just at the Pentagon. So, you know, it could, but I don't think a policy statement like this is one that is made lightly,
mm-hmm.
And not one that is made without a lot of buy-off from a lot of people in the Pentagon, throughout DOD, and the administration.
Overall, what are your friends and contacts in the contracting community telling you about what it's like doing business with the Pentagon these days? Getting easier, getting harder, getting more complicated, whatever?
I don't think it's more complicated. I think people are really, really focusing in on where they hope money is going to be spent and areas where they have, you know, a solid team. The competition's getting more intense because the money is definitely tighter. I mean, we're talking at least a 5% slice here, and that's real money.
You've got the big AmTower Off-Center show on Monday at noon?
Noon with Scott Denniston this week, formerly OSDBU at VA.
That was going to be my question, who's on the show, and I'll look forward to listening to it as I'm getting ready for In-Depth on Monday. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Always a pleasure.
Same here, AmTower. It's 524 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You can hear Mark's show either on the air, as I mentioned, noon on Monday, or online at federalnewsradio.com.